All right, so now my mic's on. Well, there I am. Yeah, and that's why you couldn't hear me. Psalm 42, Joshua 20, and Matthew chapter number 11. Psalm 42, verse number 1, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Father, we do thank You for this time to come together this morning to be, Lord, we are afforded the privilege of coming into Your presence as we assemble together on this Lord's Day. Father, we are afforded the privilege of having the inspired Word of God for our sole authority in faith and practice of the Liberty Baptist Church. And Father, we do pray this morning that You would allow Your Word to sink deep into our hearts, Father, and for Your Spirit to do His work among us on this Lord's Day. Lord, we might leave this place refreshed and challenged, and Father, even some lives changed today by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we do thank You for what You're going to do in our midst on this day. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't remember what night it was when the evangelist was preaching and he covered the first verse of Psalm 42 where it says, as the heart, or we know it as the deer, maybe in our language, panteth for the water brook, sort of my soul, thirsteth for thee. And he was talking about how that deer may have been pursued, he said, by hounds or by wolves or by a hunter. It doesn't take much to spook a deer. And once a deer is spooked, they just tend to run. They are wired to run, and they can run and run and run. And I've seen them jump fences. I've seen them jump over the backs of cars as they are crossing highways. They just run and they jump and they go. They're wired that way. But eventually they're going to have to stop because their heart is pounding out of their chest. Their sides are heaving as they are panting. They are nearing exhaustion. Their muscles are burning with all of the exertion they've been applying over the last several minutes. And they're going to have to stop and take a rest here to take a drink from the water brooks, to recharge itself, to maybe restore some vitality in that deer's life and in that deer's spirit, if you will. And so we know, understanding this, that even though that deer is stopping to rest to take a drink, the pursuer hasn't stopped pursuing. There's no indication that the hunter is not tracking that deer, or the wolves aren't on the scent of that animal that's been running through the woods and over the forest and through the glades. There's no indication at all that the pursuer has stopped pursuing. It just has to stop for its own betterment, for its own way of living, to stop and to take a drink and to rest. God's people have to stop and take a rest. And we are continually being pursued. We are continually in the pursuit. And I'm going to talk to you this morning about this idea of having the faith to rest in the pursuit. You need to have the faith to rest in the pursuit. For the deer, faith isn't involved. It just has to stop because it wants to live. So it stops and gets a drink from the brook or from the pond or whatever the case may be to rest and to recharge itself, to let the lungs kind of relax again. It's been exhilarating and it's been exhausting for that animal. But we also, as human beings, and more importantly, as God's dear children, need to realize how important it is for us to rest in the pursuit that we face on a daily basis. I want you to go back in Psalms real quick and go back a few chapters to Psalm chapter 32. I want to show you a very important word in the Psalms that gets overlooked time and time again. But this word is a very important and a very instructive word. In Psalm chapter 32, and in verse number 7, the Bible says this, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Isn't that beautiful right there? "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. But then there's a little five-letter word there at the end that says, Selah. Selah. There's a lot of believers who have no idea what that word means. There's a lot of believers who have no idea that word's in their Bible. Amen? But it occurs 71 times in the Psalms alone. It's also found a few other places in our Old Testament. But I heard somebody say it over here on this side. The word Selah means to pause. To pause. Why would there be a pause? Well, we have to remember that the Psalms were written to be what? Sung. And we can't just keep on singing and singing and singing without breathing, can we? Can we? Can we? No. I've watched choir practice here. Now, they go through breathing exercises, and to me, they're utterly ridiculous because I don't sing. And I breathe when I want to breathe. Okay, I'll stop singing in the middle of a stanza, and I'll just breathe when I want to breathe, and I'll catch up with you all later. But, you know, he's doing these breathing exercises so that they know when to stop and to take a breath. You have to be able to breathe when the music is written. Otherwise, it doesn't come out right. And you'll hear the choir kind of die down as their breath is running out and things of this nature. And so what they put into, one more time. It means to pause, Selah. It means to take a breath. It means to reflect. Reflect. Well, what do you mean reflect? Well, how many times have you sung a song out of our hymnal and just sang the words because you know the word by heart? I have. I think I did it this morning a couple times. I mean, I know number 208, greater than our sin, like the back of my hand. I can go through right now and do all four verses for you. I don't want to. That's not the intention. I know what the song is and what the song says. But as David is writing here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he writes this word Selah right after verse number 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Yes, Lord, I'm going to pause here. And yes, Lord, if I'm singing this psalm, I'm going to take a breath here. But also, Lord, I know this, that if I want to really appreciate and for my mind to get wrapped around what's being said here, I need to just pause, take a breath, and reflect. What is God really saying to me? How is God trying to get my attention? How is God trying to improve my life? How is God trying to strengthen my faith? How is God trying to cause me to get Him to know in a greater way? And so we have to stop, pause, take a breath, if you will, and reflect. Here's what happens, though. Life happens. And we're just going at 100 miles an hour. And there are those who say, and they are experts in the field, and I don't know exactly what an expert is other than a drip under pressure. Someone say amen. I don't understand what an expert is, but they say that we are at the busiest point in our lives in America, in America's history. We are going to and fro, hither and yon, and again, we're going at 100 miles an hour because life just happens. Now, just be honest with yourself. If you're not retired, but if you're working and you're raising children, and even if you are retired, I know a lot of you are very busy, you get so busy that sometimes you're guilty like I am where you don't take time to pause, to take a breath, and to reflect, because that's how busy life is. Am I lost already? Okay. Maybe I'm busier than anybody else is. I don't know. But I'm telling you what, we get so busy and we get so consumed, we forget to stop, to pause, to take a breath, and reflect. And I'm going to show you this morning in the Bible two different pursuits that we are subjected to in this life. The first one I'm calling a universal pursuit, and the second one I'm calling an unrelenting pursuit. So go back, if you would, to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20, and we're going to read here in a moment about something called the cities of refuge in Joshua. The cities of refuge were designed by God. They were appointed by God to be a place of refuge and safety for that man or woman who unknowingly or unwittingly took the life of another. It was an accidental thing. It was not what we call premeditated murder, something that was not planned, but a life was taken, and these cities of refuge were set up so that these ones that had taken a life could go there, they could rest, they could get a fair trial without being exposed to this one who was chasing them down for their life. So look in Joshua chapter number 20 with me, and look at verse number 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of what, saints? Of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of what? Okay, you're following along. Very good. Verse 4. And when he doth flee unto one of those cities, shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. They shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city, and he shall stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days, then shall the slayer return, and come unto his own city, unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Again, these cities of refuge were established for the purpose of allowing the one who unknowingly killed another to flee to these cities, and for a time, at least, have their life or their lives spared. Now, when there was a death that occurred, it didn't matter to the avenger of blood, that relative, that close one, that loved one. It didn't matter to them whether the death was accidental, on purpose or not. And so they would begin to chase down this killer. This avenger of blood would chase them down. And what was on their mind was simply revenge. It was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. And I want you to understand this morning that we are all subject to this universal pursuit of the avenger of blood. And I know what you're saying. You're thinking this right now. Pastor, I have never killed anyone on accident or on purpose, and I never even have really thought about killing anyone. Me either. We're in good company. But there's a symbolism here that we are called to understand and to recognize. And with God's help and with His Spirit's illumination this morning, you'll begin to see exactly what I am talking about. All of us are subject to this universal pursuit, because the avenger of blood is not a human being in so many words, but instead is something that God had instituted, namely His law. And the law of God chases every man and woman and child upon the face of the earth all their life long. And the law says this to every man, woman, and child: you are guilty, because you have violated me. You have murdered the law of God. And now I, the law, as the avenger of blood, am going to hunt you down without mercy, without love, and without compassion. And I'm going to hound you all of your days. That's what the law does. It's exactly what the law does. We say, well, Pastor, I don't really understand what you're saying here. We got to remember this, that Paul taught us that the law was that schoolmaster, that teacher that taught us, pointed us to what sin is. It's the law that we broke. It's the law that we broke that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If that were not true, then we would not all be sinners. But we are all sinners. We have broken God's perfect law. We have tried to go in under the standard, tried to go in under the bar, and we have broken God's law. And you say, well, I can't really think of any laws that I have broken. Trust me, you have. It's not just the Ten Commandments. There's 603 other ones. There's 613 commandments, tenets, precepts of God's law. And there's not a man, woman, or child upon the face of the earth that's able to keep all 613 tenets, precepts, and commands of the law, save one, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Other than that, we all simply miss out on this ideal of perfection that God has established. We've missed God's mark. We've broken His law. And as sinners, we're being pursued by this avenger of blood. Understanding this, that the law will not stop pursuing you until blood has been offered. Go back to the Old Testament and you review all those feasts and all those offerings and all those sacrifices. I don't care what offering it was. Every offering was made in order to appease and to meet the demands that the law was making. And blood would be offered. And for a time, who knows, a brief period of time, the law would be satisfied with the offering that was given. But understanding this, tomorrow's a new day. And new laws will be broken. And you'll have to make that offering or that sacrifice again and again and again and again. It keeps pursuing you because it will not stop until blood has been offered. Amen? Jesus is our city of refuge. When the avenger of blood is hounding us and you realize that you can't be good enough, that you can't work hard enough, that you cannot pray long enough, you're going to have to turn to the city of refuge and enter in at the door of the city of refuge and say this, Lord, I have sinned and I need You to be my Savior. And aren't you glad about the promise of God that says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said all that to say this. God's calling us to His rest. He's calling us to His refuge. He wants to be our hiding place. He wants to surround us with songs of deliverance. But in order for us to find refuge in Christ, we've got to stop. You've got to pause. You've got to take a breath and reflect upon what Jesus has done. Hey, how about Romans 5:8? But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? Died for us. Have you thought and stopped and reflected upon that beautiful thought lately? Jesus died for us. Even when we were yet sinners, full knowing that none of us deserve the glories of heaven, none of us deserve the grace of God. Bring up grace. You say, Pastor, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. I'll tell you this. You wouldn't be able to comprehend grace if it weren't for the law. You would not this morning be able to fully understand and appreciate the grace of God if it weren't for the perfect law of God that condemns each one of us guilty. And the avenger of blood pursues every man, woman, and child and will not stop until blood is offered. And once the blood of Jesus covers your sins and covers your soul, there is no more continuing offering of sacrifice. That's it. It is done. It is finished. There's nothing else that can be done. You have entered into the city of refuge and the avenger of blood chases you no more. Amen. I love that. I love that thought. And because even today, under grace, I still know this. I can't do good enough. I can't work hard enough. I can't pray long enough. I have to simply rely and have faith that the grace of Christ was enough to cover all of my sins. Beautiful verse of Scripture in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. Just listen. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Amen? That is beautiful. The eternal God is thy refuge. So you and I this morning who are here and have placed our faith and trust in Christ, we found that refuge. We understood what it means to rest from the pursuit, to rest from the pursuit of the avenger of blood, to rest from the pursuit of the law, to take time to enter into that refuge and experience the wonderful grace of Jesus. There's a lot of people who are still outside the refuge and they're still running. That's where you and I come in. They're just travelers, right? They're weary travelers. And all we really are is we're just weary travelers who found refuge, telling another weary traveler where they can find refuge. That's exactly what it's about. It's someone said it's one beggar telling another beggar where they found bread. Well, today it's one traveler telling another traveler where they found refuge. Have you found refuge this morning? Amen. Are you experiencing the wonderful grace of Jesus? Amen. Amen. And so we have that universal pursuit that follows every man, woman, and child upon the face of the earth and will not quit until blood has been offered. I like this idea of one traveler telling another traveler where they found refuge, because when I travel, and I don't travel a lot, but when I do, I go to a website called TripAdvisor. Ever heard of it? TripAdvisor, like one of us? Seriously? It's on the internet. Okay, Ms. Bitter. Okay, now. But you go on there and you read what other people have said about the place you're going to stay, the place you want to eat, and things of nature. And I found out this, that, you know, if you can go through and on TripAdvisor and you can get a whole bunch of good reviews and maybe only one or two negative reviews, it's a pretty safe place to stay. But if it's all negative all the time, I don't want to go there. But what I'm telling you this, when I found my refuge and the haven of rest, when I came to Jesus and experienced His grace, I can't but give you a glowing review of every day of my life since then. I've never been sorry. Amen. Amen. So that's what we have to understand this morning. That people need to know that there's a rest from the universal pursuit of the avenger of blood. And that rest is Jesus Christ. Now, quickly, Matthew chapter 11. I want to give you some thoughts this morning on an unrelenting pursuit. An unrelenting pursuit. Matthew chapter number 11. And I need you to go down to verse number 28. You'll recognize these verses when I start them. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen, saints. I like to say that these three verses cover everything that I didn't cover in the first point. The first point was all about salvation, all about being lost or unregenerate or unredeemed. And that's covered by us going to the refuge that is Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. But this verse covers every other aspect of a human's life. As I've already said, in life happens, doesn't it? A few years ago, there was an ad campaign. One of the insurance companies had, it was like this: life comes at you fast. Does it or not? I was just thinking this morning as I was coming here, and I was on my way to pick up Brent this morning, and I was thinking about things that I did in fourth grade in elementary school. I can remember things I said and friends I had and teachers that didn't like me. Amen? Can you relate to that at all? Yeah, Mrs. Dutas, she didn't like me. I don't know why. I'm really likable. But she didn't like me. That was in fourth grade. I don't even know what year I was in fourth grade. I couldn't even do the math to tell you what year I was in fourth grade. I graduated in 1984. That means that next year I've been out of high school out of jail 30 years. High school, that's right. Our school was called National Trail. We had no problem calling it National Jail. Someone helped me there. So, you know, I've been out of high school 30 years. I remember when I was in the Navy buckling Jillian into her car seat and taking her to the maybe next location. Her favorite restaurant when she was little was the Yum Yum Tree. A little place in Hawaii. Had the best cornbread on earth besides Robbie's. Had the best cornbread on earth besides Robbie's. Amen. And she used to love to just go to the Yum Yum Tree and eat there.
And now Jillian's married. She's got a second baby on the way. Where'd the time go? Well, life comes at you fast. And there's just no, we have no control over that. The time is going to keep on running to the sands are going to keep on dropping down to the hourglass. The pages of the calendars are going to keep on flipping over and over and over. I remember when there was a time that the year 2000 looked a long way off. And now the year 2000 looks like a long way back. 13 years ago. Right? It just happens. Life just happens. And life is unrelenting. It just comes at you quickly. And some of the things that life deals us are just not very kind. How many of you still work for a living? You go to a job, punch a clock, things of that nature, earn income. Do you find sometimes that the workplace just isn't kind to you, but it's demanding?
Amen.
Huh? I asked Brent this morning, said, so he works at this, he's a cook for a care facility. What time do you go in on a morning? He said, 6:30. So someone say, ooh. Yeah. 6:30. My wife gets up every day, every Monday through Friday at 4:30. That's when the alarm goes off. And she's off. She's in her car by 5:40 to make work by 6 every day. That's not kind, is it? Amen. You know, and do you feel like this too, that maybe you deserve more vacation than you get from your employer? Do you feel like this too, that sometimes your employer is hard on you just for the sake of being hard on you? He did nothing wrong, but he just feels like, or she feels like she has to come down hard and maybe crack the whip a little bit and try to maybe light a new fire under you. You ever feel that way? Because life is unkind. It just, life comes at you fast and it just keeps on going. And anybody, don't raise hands, but has anybody in here experienced or known of marital problems? Right? Has anybody here experienced or known of someone who had some child-rearing issues? Some have probably done jail time. Some have dealt with, severe addictions that really affected their way of life. Some of you have, had difficult financial times. Some have had to file bankruptcy. Some are still so far in debt they cannot ever see how they're ever going to rise above and see the light any longer of that credit card bill or that mortgage or whatever it is that's still rising up above you. Because life just continues to pursue us. And life is not satisfied until we close our eyes in death. That's when life becomes satisfied. It has taken everything it can out of every human being upon the face of the earth. And Jesus says to all of those people, all of us people, He says, come unto me, verse number 28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is what, saints? The burden is light. There we have times in our life when bitterness seems to envelop us. There are times in our life when we're going through heartache and we've suffered the loss of a loved one, a friend or a family member. We've had times in our life where the stress was so unrelenting and the difficulty was so hard to overcome. We weren't really sure we were going to make it out. And if we did, we would never be the same again. I started just about a month ago going to a massage therapist to work on my shoulders and my neck. So I get neck spasms way too often and began to talk to the therapist about what was going on. And the first time that the therapist put her hand on my shoulder, she said, it feels like a brick wall. She said, that is where you're carrying all of your stress. And all she did was for 1 hour work on my shoulders and my neck. And she said, Mark, I feel like I've made no progress on this thing. And so we're going to have to come back. And so I've been going back, and I've been going back every 2 weeks or so. And now finally I'm able to turn my neck, my head both ways for the first time since high school. Yeah, I could never turn it all the way this way since high school. I had a severe neck spasm then, and it was one of those that was so severe I was down for 2 days. I couldn't do anything. And so I've always had these spasms and this heavy stress. It's a burden upon my shoulders. I'm not the only one here. It's not because I'm a pastor. Because I'm a pastor and a husband and a father. Amen. And you're a mother and you're a wife and you're a daughter. We have all these things that we carry in our lives. And Jesus says, don't carry all these things by yourself. If you would simply come to me, you would finally understand what it means to rest as life pursues you. And when you do finally rest, he wants you to yoke up with him. You know what a yoke is, don't you? They used to put the oxen or the beast of burden in a yoke. It was a wooden collar that kept the two together. It kept them in step. And what can happen, though, is if they're in the yoke too long, an ox or a beast of burden can develop, you know, really bad sores on their neck and shoulders. And it really kind of makes them unavailable for use for a few days. But Jesus says, here's my promise to you. Here's my vow to you. If you come and yoke up with me, you'll find out that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You won't even feel the burden that you've been carrying because I can take it all upon myself. And you won't be sore and you won't be rubbed raw because you've taken time to find rest in the city of refuge, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need to take time to rest. Not from the ministry. Not from being a husband, not from being a father, not from being a counselor, not from all those things, but to take a rest from the pursuit that life brings upon me day after day after day. And I don't think I'm any different than anybody else in this room this morning. You could use a rest. Let me show you some verses real quick and we close this thing down this morning of the promise that's the blessing that are afforded to us if we take time to rest. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 13, the children of Israel have just seen the miracle of crossing over the Red Sea. They are on their way to the promised land. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm telling you this, if we just take some time to rest this morning, take some time to rest as life unrelentingly pursues us, it'll help us appreciate better the great salvation afforded to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I'm going to say this, and I hope I'm not stepping on your toes this morning. Sometimes we get so busy, we can be guilty of taking our great salvation for granted. Job 37 and verse 14, God says to Job, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. I've learned this and I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to a trip that Kathy and I are taking at the end of the month. We're going to take a Monday and Tuesday, and we're going to kayak from the Glen Canyon Dam down to Lee's Ferry on the Colorado River. I've been reading all about it, and you kayak between 1,000-foot cliffs of a canyon, the end of Glen Canyon. I cannot wait to enjoy the nature and the majesty of the hand of God at work, because I don't believe a flood, I'm sorry, that canyon is billions and billions of years old. I believe it was formed during a flood, a whopper of a flood, amen, and God knew. Exactly. I can't wait to appreciate the wondrous works of nature. And we could go on, and I could go on for hours this morning about how we're fearfully and wonderfully made in considering the intricacies of the creation that is the human body. But I want you to understand that Job was told to stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. If you're not standing still, if you're continually running from the pursuit of life, you won't fully appreciate the wondrous works of God. In Psalm 46 and verse number 10, the Bible says, Be still and know that I am God. David said, be still and know that I am God. You're going to have to take some time and realize and recognize just how God is and just how powerful He is and just how majestic He is. You know that He is the God and there is none else. He is the God that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is the God that will supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the God that we're talking about. But again, if we're continually on the run, hither and yon and to and fro, we forget to stop, to pause, to take a breath and reflect. Mark chapter 4 and verse 39, and He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. We can be so busy running from the pursuit of life that we don't even stop and recognize that God just calmed another storm for us. He brought us through again to the other side, unscathed. Maybe better for it now because we've been through these things, because we're so busy. We're just going and going and going. If you're one of those type A driven personalities, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, preacher, if I stop and rest and reflect, I'm going to miss something. If you don't stop and pause and rest and reflect, you will miss something of greater and eternal value. Amen. The blessing of God in your life. You know, we have these hymnals. Got one there? A lot of this music is written with rests, isn't it, Matthew? There's rests in the writing. There's whole rests, half rests, quarter rests, eighth rests, 16th rest. The shortest rest I found was a semiquaver. It's a 164th note, rest. Even when the music has a rest written into it, the song doesn't stop. Amen? You can take a rest. You can take time to get along with God. Because understanding this, even though you're resting, life is not going to stop pursuing. Amen? What a rest. Jesus Christ, our city of refuge. I want to read that one psalm again, one verse again in Psalm chapter number 32. As we close in verse number 7. Psalm 32. Let's all stand in verse number 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Everybody together. Selah. Pause. Reflect. Take a breath. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank You for this time this morning. And we thank You for the Word of God, and the examples that it gives us, and the important principles, Lord, that are lined out for us that we're not to take for granted, that we're not to gloss over in our Christian lives. And Father, today was just a reminder of how important it is to take a rest in the Christian life. Not to stop serving, not to stop loving You, not to stop doing the things that we're doing in our Christian lives. But Father, to stop and to take a breath and reflect on who You are, on Your goodness, on Your greatness, on Your salvation, on the way that You can step out in the storms of our very own individual lives and say, peace be still. And it will exactly that, be still. What a great, majestic, powerful, glorious, magnificent God we serve. Lord, help this day be a reminder to stop, pause, take a breath, and to reflect. We thank You for these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.